I just, okay.
Are we ready to go, Mr. Stauffer?
Yes, we are broadcasting.
Okay. Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our school board meeting this evening. Let's start by observing a moment of silence for us to reflect on our obligation to our students, our employees, and to our taxpayers. And after that, we will please join me in the pledge to the flag. And I would ask you, if it's possible where you are, to please rise. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. It appears that all of our board members are present this evening. Thank you all for participating. I should point out that prior to this evening's meeting, we held an executive session to discuss legal and personnel matters. And our first order of business is the approval of the agenda for this evening.
I move to approve the agenda as is.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions about the agenda or comments? Mr. Fisher, were there any late breaking additions to the personnel report in the, excuse me, I'm ahead of myself. That will come later. Any other questions or comments about the agenda? Okay, for approval, let's call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes, our agenda is approved. Okay, moving on, it's our first of two opportunities this evening for public comment. If any members of the public that are joining us for our meeting this evening would like to speak, please select the raise hand option on your screen, and you will then be recognized by Mr. Stauffer, who is our webinar host this evening. And when recognized, please state your name and address, and spell your name for the record, if you would, and make your brief comment.
Mr. Blevins, at this time, we do have a couple hands raised. The first hand raised is Ellen Connolly. I will click the allow to talk. Ellen, you should be able to talk currently.
Thank you, Mr. Stauffer. Thank you for the opportunity to make comment tonight. I do feel a need to share some concerns from the perspective of DAEA, because we believe we were unjustly represented regarding our efforts and attempts to support the district during a time that is struggling to balance the budget. We have nearly 440 educators in the district. Only 15 of those educators are not members of DAEA. I proudly serve as president for approximately 425 DAEA educators, many of whom have been attending the board and finance meetings. We appreciate the insightful dialogue and questions from the board surrounding the budget and the need for analysis. Dialogue and questions like those currently being asked reveal systemic problems and ultimately ensure that our students are receiving the best education, resources, and opportunities that we can financially support. As president of DAEA, I'm asking my members to stay positive and to have faith that the decisions to reduce 8 teaching positions have been thoroughly vetted. We have lost numerous teaching positions since 2013. This does create stress for the educators who are asked to close the gaps. It does reduce our services to students, but we must trust at this time it is a necessity. This reduction in professional positions is saving hundreds of thousands of dollars. Please be cognizant of the fact that this savings will bring a burden to the teachers and the educators who are working directly with the students. The negotiations team sincerely had every intent of taking a wage freeze to our members for a vote. We were disappointed when we learned that the district rejected it. We were more concerned and disappointed when we learned the reason why our offer was rejected. We hope that our reductions in positions and our offer of a wage freeze are not in vain. We hope that you will continue to analyze the budget. We sincerely did take a close look at how we could offer help to balance the budget. We feel as though our efforts were distorted and misrepresented in the public. That is now in the past. So looking forward, we are asking for you to consider some things that are of concern and importance to us with regard to managing the financial deficits. We believe, in light of the district looking at the spending costs for 8 teaching positions and rejecting our freeze offer, that you also take a close look at other spending that is out of our control. Please look at spending habits embedded in years of practice. Bad spending habits and attitudes can be the core of significant financial loss. Loss that occurs right under our noses and has us scratching our heads when we can't pay essential bills in March. It does not serve any budget or organization to have the attitude that only big money lines can fix a budget. Small budget lines can add up to big savings if we make good decisions. Look at things like cell phone services and plans. That spending habit is antiquated in today's workplace. Large organizations such as WellSpan disbanded cell phones over 10 years ago, even for doctors who serve an on-call schedule. A recurring cost of a cell phone plan can better be spent on numerous paraprofessional hours, good people working with our students. Look at our P-card expenditures. What is essential spending and what isn't? Why do we have numerous records of local food vendors totaling thousands of dollars each year? Are we being prudent? An $80 lunch at Rob Burritos and another at Tapenade could be 2 days of pay for a paraprofessional to work with our students. $15 at Permane Brothers, Panera, or Crimson, it all adds up when it becomes a practice. Why do we have records of annual leadership retreats that total $10,000 to $12,000 each? Retreats with breakfast bills that cost nearly $1,000. Retreats with records of leisure activities such as bowling and whitewater rafting. Is this wise spending of taxpayer money when we are reducing positions that work directly with students? Why do we have records of significant spending for airline tickets, parking garages, high-end hotels like the Omni, the Gaylord, and Four Seasons? For what outcome? We need to ask ourselves if we have bad habits that need to be broken. One spring, we're asked to spend all the money that's still sitting in budgets, spending it on things like furniture and tech items, things that we as educators never budgeted for nor requested. Another spring then arrives, and we are told that we're in a spending freeze because we can't pay our bills. We need to do better. DAEA fully supports the tough decisions that need to be made. We support them even when we were misrepresented to the public as not offering financial support. We support them even when we will be the ones to carry the stress from the work that will still need to be done with 8 positions short. I am here to make it very clear to you that you have our support despite what has taken place with the cuts and the communication surrounding our efforts to help, but please acknowledge our support by ensuring that we are exercising wise and essential spending. Challenge all of us and let's look deeper at our practices. Our students need people with them in the classrooms. If we must make decisions to cut in areas that are closest to our students, then we feel it is our obligation on behalf of our students to be here tonight to ask you that you also look to cut things that are very far from our students and what directly impacts them. As we move forward during the COVID-19 crisis, please continue to analyze the budget to find what is truly needed to serve our students. And then maybe we can all sleep at night knowing that our position cuts were made in good faith. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, we do have another hand raised, Galen Leitzel. Galen, I will select the allow to talk. At this point, you are able to speak.
Good evening. My name is Dr. Galen Leitzel. I reside at 2531 El Dorado Drive in York, Pennsylvania, right next to Hoare Valley Elementary School. My last name is spelled L-E-I-T-Z-E-L. My purpose in speaking to you this evening is on behalf of the music department. I know that you have very difficult decisions to make with balancing your budgets, but it's my understanding that the music department is about to lose another staff person due to retirement that is not being considered for a rehire. I'm coming at you from four different perspectives. I'm a 16-year resident of the school district. I'm also the father of two boys who graduated from Dallastown School District and enjoyed a tremendous experience in their instrumental music programs. I'm also a private teacher teaching young musicians who are currently in your instrumental program. And I'm a 36-year veteran of music education, the last 10 years of which I spent as a supervisor of music at the Conestoga Valley School District. From all four of those perspectives, I'm very concerned about the additional decrease in staff size with your music department. It seems very clear to me that in order to cover the, of course, mandated K-8 general music courses, that your instrumental music staff is going to be forced to severely curtail the amount of time that they can spend with their students in their instrumental programs. I would point out to you, if it's not obvious already, that this is going to have a severely negative impact upon your instrumental ensembles at all levels in your school district. And I would exhort you to try to see if there is some way that you can see fit to replace that position that is being opened through retirement. It's an imperfect comparison because I'm going to be comparing a curricular program with an extracurricular program, but the best way I know how to illustrate the impact is to compare your instrumental ensembles to the football team. If you were to say to your head football coach, your entire staff is gone, you're going to run your football team by yourself, you're going to practice them as a group, you do not have the ability to break them down into their groups, such as quarterbacks, receivers, offensive lines, defensive backfield, to work on the specific skills that they need to become better football players. But you're still going to play your games. I guarantee you would not like the outcome. And from that perspective, you're going to have the same impact upon your instrumental programs. The nasty part of this kind of a situation is that it's not affecting just 1 year. Next year's fourth graders, if they are not allowed to have the lessons or sectionals that they need to learn the skills on their instruments, you're going to feel that negative impact until they graduate 8 years from now. The impact will be on all of your ensembles at all levels. Just like a quarterback has very unique skills that he has to work upon, or she, and which are different from the wide receivers, which are different from the offensive line, this is also true in the fact that the skill sets required by a violinist are very different from those required of a cellist. The skills that are needed by a percussionist are very different from those that are needed by a brass player. And even within the woodwind family, the needs of the saxophonist are not the same as the need of a flautist. Each of these instruments have special skills that need to have very hands-on instruction. Without that instruction, students won't progress, they won't improve, and the effect upon the ensemble will be drastic. I know, coming from the perspective of a former administrator, I absolutely understand the dilemma that you're placed in to balance the budget. And I sympathize with the problem that you face. However, I would exhort you again to try not to make decisions that are going to have long-term impacts. And I think the loss of another music staff person will have that kind of a long-term impact that will be very difficult, if not impossible, to come back from. The Dallastown School District has enjoyed a tremendous music program, and one that you can be justly very proud of, and we all are proud of it. I would like to see that continue. I understand the requirements and restrictions that are imposed by the state of Pennsylvania with regard of reduction of staff. And the only other thing that I would say is, if it's literally impossible to save this music position, at the very least, I would like you to insist that your administrative team, obviously in cooperation with the music staff, come up with a staffing model that will lessen or eliminate the negative impact upon the instrumental music ensembles. And I can tell you that 12 years ago, when we faced a similar situation because of the pension situation, we felt we had to do a reduction of staff, and we had to face the same kinds of decisions that you're looking at now. And I can tell you that with the cooperation of the administrative staff and myself as music supervisor and the music staff, we were able to come up with a solution that kept the integrity of the sectionals and lessons that were involved with the instrumental music program. It can be done, and I would exhort you to insist that your administrators make that happen. I appreciate your time, and I wish you the best in your decision. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Blevins, we do have an additional hand raised. Forgive me if I do mispronounce. The next attendee wishing to speak is Milana Schechtman. Milana, you are now unmuted and able to speak.
Hi, my name is Milana Schechtman, and I'm coming from 7482 Grand Lake Drive, Seven Valleys, PA. It's spelled MilanaSchechtman. I'm coming as a junior from the high school, and I just wanted to come on from the same position that Mr. Leitzel was talking about earlier. The music department has impacted me so greatly. I started in choir when I was in fourth grade, and I haven't stopped since. I'm part of the musical program today. I am in choir, I'm in the vocal ensemble, and I cannot express to you enough how much it has impacted me. I would never be going into the field that I'm going into, which is musical theater, if it wasn't for Dallastown's amazing department. And I would so appreciate if you were to reconsider the budget cut to the music department today. I completely sympathize again with the fact that this is quite a difficult decision, but I would ask you to reconsider for the Dallastown Music Department, specifically the choir, from my stance, has brought so many awards to the school, along with so many happy and smiling faces that look forward to seeing our shows each year. And I think that not bringing in a teacher to hold these rehearsals and hold these sectional practices will come as a complete disservice to the students. And I think that we as a body deserve better than that. I believe that not having the set amount of time that we do today definitely impacts us as a whole, because we don't get to practice what we love just as the same as any other educational or sports department at the school. Just like Mr. Leitzel said, if we do not have the set amount of time for the choir kids and for the orchestra students and for the band students, we all have different needs that can't just be supplied by two teachers. So if you could reconsider, I am speaking on the behalf of everyone in the music department and not just my grade, for my brother who is currently attending the intermediate school and is going through their choir program now and comes home to me every single day telling me how much he loves it and how he's going to continue in the middle school. And I would hate for him to have this disservice as not being able to be presented the same wonderful music program that you all have provided me for the past couple years. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Blevins, there are no other hands raised to speak.
Okay.
Yes, no other hands.
Thank you very much. I would like to just point out for clarity's sake that there will be no vote taken on the budget this evening. At a later part of the meeting, we will have a discussion of the budget, but we have already approved a preliminary budget, which is subject to change, and the vote on the final budget will take place on June 11th. But we have allotted time in our agenda this evening for board discussion relative to the budget. Just wanted to clarify expectations for this evening. Okay, let's move on to, we have indeed a special presentation tonight, and that is recognition of our retirees. Let's start with some comments by Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins, and good evening, everybody. Once again, it's that bittersweet time of year when we recognize our retiree class of 2020. I say it's bittersweet because we're sorry to see you go, but we are certainly happy for you to move on to the next chapter of your life and your retirement. We're also disappointed and saddened that we've got to do this virtually this year. This is much different format than we've done it in the past. We'd love to have you here in person and to be able to shake your hand and look you in the eye, but unfortunately that's not available to us. But that should take nothing away from your accomplishments and your service to the district. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Dahl. He'd like to make a few comments to our retirees.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. While retiree story at DASD are coming to a close, this certainly marks the beginning of a brand new chapter. The who, what, when, where, why, and how will be what they imagine. Making new connections or reconnecting with themselves and loved ones, pondering fond memories or pursuing new dreams, taking time for rest and relaxation, and they certainly need that, or taking off on new adventures, or perhaps transforming bad habits or initiating new ones. All of our devoted retirees are retiring from work, not life, and from what we've seen of their gifts and talents and their dedication to excellence, their lives will reflect all that is positive in our world. We are certainly blessed, and I'm blessed to know them and that they're part of our Wildcat Nation, and we wish them many blessings on life's longest vacation. And while lounging in their pajamas all day may no longer be that unusual, they'll also be able to do so without worrying about having to do so virtually. So I cannot thank each retiree enough for their years of contribution to the district and the students that they've served, and I want to congratulate each and every one. At this point, we'll turn it over to Mr. Blevins, who will read something on behalf of the board.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Dahl. And on behalf of the board, I would like to congratulate all of you on your retirement and wish you the very best in the future. You have spent your career with a very high calling, and devoting your time and attention, whether you were a teacher or a support person, devoting your daily occupational efforts to the betterment of our children is indeed a high calling, and we're very, very thankful to you all for the difference you have made in the lives of so many children. And to that end, again, as was mentioned earlier, we're sorry we can't do this in person and stand up and present you with a plaque that you all so richly deserve, but that will be provided to you at a later date. But I would like to read to you the resolution that is part of that plaque, and also point out that there are really two separate plaques, one for professional employees or teachers, and one for support staff, both equally important, but in the very similar in nature. But in the interest of time, I will just read the one relative to the professional staff. And it says, whereas you, your name would be listed there, exemplifies the finest qualities of a lifelong educator through your dedication to the success of the students of Dallastown Area School District. And whereas you have enriched the lives of your students during a career characterized by commitment, loyalty, and professionalism in the best tradition of the teaching profession. Therefore, now it be resolved that the Dallastown Area School Board Directors extends a warm thank you to your name for your X years of service, of steadfast service to education, and proffers on behalf of the administrators, teachers, students, and the community the most sincere gratitude and best wishes for a bountiful retirement. So once again, on behalf of the board, thank you all very much and congratulations. Mr. Fisher?
Thank you again, Mr. Blevins. As you can see on your screen there, we have 13 retirees this year, ranging anywhere from 18 years of service up to 35 years of service. As we mentioned a little earlier, we're gonna try something a little bit different this year. Normally we would bring you down and embarrass you in front of the whole group, but we put a video together this year. So if technology will allow us, we're going to show that video now. If you're unable to see it or have difficulty viewing or seeing it, we are going to post it at the bottom of your screen. There's a Q&A icon there that will be posted later. So I'm going to turn this over to Tom, see if he can get the video to run.
Stacy Dellinger has given 35 years of service in education. Throughout my tenure at Ore Valley, Stacy was an instructional support teacher as well as Ore Valley's head teacher. I'm not even sure where to begin with my comments about Stacy. I could honestly spend several minutes, if not hours, honoring her. Stacy is honestly a cornerstone at both Ore Valley and the Dallastown Area School District. She has been an exceptional teacher and leader who loved her students as if they were her own, always doing things to better the lives of our students. During my time with Stacy, I grew as a leader and a professional because of the many things I learned from her. She reinforced to me that people do not care what you know until they know that you care. She modeled to me the ideal that humility carries the most weight in getting others to trust you. She reminded me every day through her actions that an effective leader is one who serves alongside others, getting her hands dirty, so to say, to get the job done. She opened my eyes to the hope that people are good, that things will always get better, that love and happiness trumps everything else, that loyalties cannot be broken, that you can have fun at all times, and most importantly, in the isolated world of being a building principal, that one person could rise to the occasion to be a great friend and confidant. That is the essence of who Stacy Dellinger is, a loyal, trustworthy, and genuine friend. She will be greatly missed, and her shoes will be hard to fill. I know that Stacy is excited to enter this next stage of her life, to spend time at the beach and at her other job, and I use that term lightly, as a lifeguard. Stacy, may you continue to love others well, lead others well, and as you were so famous for, scare others well. Joanne McNichol has given 22.9 years of service. Throughout my tenure, Joanne served as Ore Valley's secretary. She was a matriarch of sorts to the Ore Valley family. At times, we joked about her being Mama Joanne. She continually demonstrated a love for everyone around her. She has a heart of gold and would do anything for anyone. Her leadership skills helped to run an effective and efficient front office, and her interpersonal skills allowed her to connect to people socially and emotionally. Joanne will best be known for adding life and fun to the school community. From introducing a mannequin named Trixie to the Ore Valley staff, to always concocting ways to play tricks on people, she always brightened up everyone's day and made them feel special, accepted, and part of our beloved Ore Valley family. Ore Valley will never be the same without Joanne's laughter and genuine care for others. As Joanne begins her next stage of life in retirement, I know she is going to be spending a lot of time with her family, especially her husband Joe and her first grandchild, Theo. I thank Joanne for always being there for me, to help lift me up, to make me smile, to make sense out of unfortunate circumstances, to keep me focused, and to liven up every single day. I wish Joanne all the best. Jody Clater has given 31 years of service in education. Throughout my tenure at Ore Valley, Jody was a second grade teacher who demonstrated a love for all students. She genuinely cared about her students' academic and emotional well-being. She was an outstanding instructor and maintained excellence and high standards throughout her entire career. I was always impressed with Jody's laid-back and humble personality. Not too much ever threw her off balance. She was always smiling and extremely considerate of everyone. I am sure that Jody is going to enjoy the great outdoors more in retirement. She was always the one who was planting new flowers at Ore Valley and maintaining our flower beds. She has been an integral part of our teaching staff, and she never lost focus on always doing what was best for her students. Thank you, Jody, for serving our Ore Valley community with commitment and excellence.
On behalf of all the York Township staff, I'd just like to thank Craig Eberle for his amazing service and dedication to the students and staff members of York Township Elementary School. Craig consistently has gone above and beyond for the students and the teachers, often doing jobs that he doesn't get thanked for, often doing things that people don't even recognize he's the one doing. Teachers report time and time again how much Craig looks out for them and goes the extra mile for them. He's going to be sorely, sorely missed. Craig, we love you very much. Congratulations on your retirement, and we're excited for what the next chapter has for you. We will certainly miss you.
Hello, I'm Mr. Martin, Blue Community Principal at Dallastown Area Intermediate School. And I'd like to thank Mr. Steve Reinhart for his years of service at the Intermediate Building. Usually about 4:30, as I would make my way back to the Intermediate School Blue Community, Steve would be up there working away, getting started on his evening shift. Steve was always receptive if there was any issues. If you talked to Steve, you knew they would be taken care of right away. We just want to thank him also for the time that he pitched in on day shift. We had one of our daytime custodians out for several weeks, and Steve was a great addition to the daytime staff as well. Steve's reliability and hard work ethic will be sorely missed at DAIS, but we wish him well in retirement.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Seneft. Tonight, I would like to recognize four incredible retirees who have impacted our school district in many ways, for which I will be forever grateful. Please join me in recognizing Mrs. Barbara Trimmer, ESL teacher. Mrs. Trimmer has been teaching with our district for almost 30 years. She has been a tremendous asset to the Intermediate School's Language Instruction Educational Program for the past several years, and I know her colleagues and students will miss her greatly. Mrs. Trimmer is looking forward to traveling and camping with her husband during her retirement. Next, I would like to recognize Mrs. Lisa Smith, music teacher. Mrs. Smith has been with our district for an incredible 34 years. Mrs. Smith has played a vital role in music education for our students with a focus on general music and chorus. Mrs. Smith will also be greatly missed by the intermediate school, and we'd like to wish her all the best during her retirement. Please also join me in recognizing Mrs. Linda Gohn, paraprofessional. Mrs. Gohn has served our district for the past 17 and a half years in an array of paraprofessional positions. She has touched the hearts of many students and staff throughout the years with her kind, patient, and generous ways. The intermediate school will truly miss her. Mrs. Gohn is looking forward to spending her retirement with her grandchildren. Last but certainly not least, I would like to recognize Mrs. Veronica Shortino, Yellow Community Secretary, affectionately known as Ronnie. I'm proud to see Ronnie served by my side for the past 6 years and a total in the district for 14 years. Her professionalism, compassion, and unique skill set are something that brought joy to the intermediate school. I, for one, know how much she will be missed. Ronnie is looking forward to her daughter's upcoming wedding and being able to enjoy retirement with her husband. Again, I would like to thank all these outstanding women for their years of dedication and service to our district.
Congratulations, Carol, on your retirement. I know you do not like the spotlight, you do not like the attention, but I am certainly glad I get the chance to say a few things. You know, when I first entered middle school and started working there, I walked into the budget, and that was one of the first things I needed to tackle. And I quickly learned how valuable you were. As we proceeded through the next couple budgets and the next couple school years, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, where am I supposed to get the money for that from you? And you know, at first I thought, what in the world is going on? But then I realized very quickly that your passion for what you did and your dedication for what you do was so great and so powerful to you that you were able to ask those questions, that you were able to look at things in a different lens than I could, and most of the time set me straight through things. So I just want to say congratulations. I know there's great things ahead for you. Very excited to hear about your adventures with your grandchild and everything else. So please stay in touch, and I want to thank you very much for all you've done for the middle school, for the staff, for the students, and also for me. Enjoy your retirement.
Mrs. Murphy describes the Dallastown staff as having a family vibe. This was most evident in her career when her younger son, Chad, was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. The way her colleagues immediately stepped up in support will never be forgotten. She thanks the district and the students that have supported Team Chad and the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, raising close to $175,000 through a variety of events. Gwen stated that it is the impact that she has had on students that will stick with her, the letters and emails she has received years later from former students, thanking her for bringing the real world to them through what they were learning. Gwen pointed out to me that people have commented on how it's a shame her career has to end during a school closure. She is quick to point out that not many people can say they started their first day with a slate chalkboard and a ditto master with no lines, and gets to end their career virtually with a Google chat and a Screencastify lesson. That said, she wants to remind everyone the blessing of this career is the interaction and impact we've had on each other inside the walls of DHS, which is hard to capture behind a screen. Administrators can unfortunately become adept at not directly answering questions and giving roundabout answers. I will miss the way Gwen starts nearly all of her questions to me with yes or no before the question. So let me be perfectly clear about this last statement. Yes, Gwen, you will be missed. And yes, if you ever really, really, really hungry for a sandwich sometime in the upcoming years, I hope we can reconnect and get lunch together. Mrs. Gwen Murphy. When asked what he did for a living, Roger's response was always that he taught students at Dallastown High School, not that he worked at Dallastown, as he never felt he was going to work. Roger's highlights will always be connected to the students and staff with which he worked, the relationships he fostered with students during his 34 and a half years, through both good and bad times, mean the world to Roger, and he took particular gratification from watching many of his former students become teachers at Dallastown, six in the social studies department alone. While he will most miss the relationships with students, he will also miss the daily interactions with so many outstanding colleagues. For example, when his son Shad was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, the sustained support from the administration, faculty, staff, and students within the Dallastown family was overwhelming. The sense of empathy and determination directed toward Team Shad has always left him speechless. When I first joined Dallastown, Roger cautioned me that administrators basically fall into one of two categories, the good guys and gals and the not so good guys and gals. He encouraged me to always be one of the good guys. I'm happy to say that Roger is one of the good guys, and it brings me great joy to know that after 50 plus years of going to school, Roger leaves with only positive thoughts of the past and the future. Mr. Roger Murphy. When Tori Harvey announced his retirement 2 years ago, I knew we had our work cut out for us. How would we replace someone with so much dedication to the job, knowledge of what it takes to run a successful athletic program, but even more importantly, a love for and commitment to Dallastown? My anxiousness grew as our search for Tori's replacement began to draw out. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, we received a call from the Berg, from someone with a ton of athletics experience, simply looking for a fresh start at a different school. Although we did not have Mr. Sortino as our director of athletics and activities for long, I consider Dallastown blessed for the time that he was here. Vince picked up right where Tori left off by putting Dallastown student athletes first and by investing countless hours of time and energy into our district. Vince is the kind of guy that will drop anything he is doing for a friend in need. I appreciate his vision, his personable approach, and the ability to keep everything running smoothly without it even seeming like he is working too hard. That is not to say he didn't work hard. In his time here, I cannot think of one home event, and many away events for that matter, that he was not in attendance, cheering on our Wildcat athletes. Vince, you will be missed, but it's nice to know I have a place to stay when I visit the western part of the state. Mr. Vincent Sortino.
Hey, thank you, principals, for those kind words. That's a nice video. I know we have several of our retirees that are on the Zoom call today. If any of you wish to make any comments or to speak, if you would just at the bottom click the raise your hand button and Tom will let us in. As you're contemplating that, I just want to remind you that we do have plaques available for you that we will hand out. I think Deb or I will call you. We can come in and pick them up at the office at your convenience. So, Tom, do we have any raised hands?
We do. Ms. Trimmer has her hand raised. Barb, I will click the allow to talk. You are unmuted at this time. I have clicked unmute. I'm not sure if Barb has her hand up mistakenly.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I wanted to thank the school district for the many, many growth opportunities that I had through the years. And I also wanted to thank the leadership, the people that I worked for, who afforded me many opportunities while working under them. And that would be directly Greg Anderson and Steph Free and Aaron Heffler. Just want to recognize them as wonderful people to work for. And you don't, all the years in the district, the leadership was wonderful from the top down. So I just wanted to thank the district for everything. And that's it.
Thank you. Any others, Tom?
Mr. Fisher, at this time, there are no other hands raised.
Wait, I had my hand raised.
Oh.
Can you hear me now? So yeah, you can hear me. This platform is just really difficult. So I don't know all of you retirees, but I do know a few of you. It's really difficult to honor you and show you some love through this platform, but I thought I'd just give a shout out to those of you I do know. Mrs. Stein, you were awesome to me for so many years when I was trying to navigate the middle school PTO, and I just thank you for all your patience with me and your time and your help letting me cut through your office and dig out all this stuff that was in the mailbox. And Mr. and Mrs. Murphy, you guys are an institution in Dallas Town High School. It's going to be really weird to not have you there when we can ever get back in there, but I just want to thank you. My kids, at least two of my kids had you, and I believe they're better people for having had you. So thank you for your years of service. Thank you to all of you who are retiring. I'm sorry I don't know the others of you, but I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay.
Mr. Fisher.
Excuse me?
Lisa Smith has her hand raised.
Okay, go ahead.
Lisa, you're unmuted and able to speak. Lisa, I'll unmute you. You don't need to hit the mute or unmute. Sorry, Mr. Fisher. I think we're playing tag here on the mute and unmute.
It's okay.
I'm not able to get Lisa unmuted at this point.
Do you hear me now?
Yes, there we go.
Okay. I just want to say that it's been a lot of years here at Dallas Town. I started here, I even graduated here at Dallas Town. The years have gone by. It's amazing how much experience I've had. I've counted how many administrators I've gone through. I've like 13 administrators, five superintendents, and the current one was a principal of mine too, Dr. Dahl. So it's just been a pleasure. And I really love the experience of teaching music to kids. And the music department is just wonderful. And I want to thank Mr. Lytle, Letzel, I think his name was, and also the other young lady who spoke very much, very well. It has been a pleasure with working with the music department. And it is really going to be great if you guys can get to improve the music department, because it is well worth it. And we have great music teachers that really are very dedicated and love your students. So I thank you so much for the opportunity, and I plan on doing continuing my music somehow, maybe just playing piano, whatever. Just thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been really a pleasure.
Yes, thank you. How are we looking now, Tom?
Mr. Fisher, there are no other hands raised.
Okay. I'll make one shameless plug, though, for any of the teachers who wish to continue substituting. We would love to have you come back and join us in the future. If that's in the future for you, just let me know. But again, we want to thank each of you for your service at Dallas Town. You will be sorely missed, and we hope that you'll stay in touch and enjoy your retirement. So thank you again very much.
Okay, thank you very much. And once again, congratulations to you all and heartfelt thanks from the board for your service. Let's move on with our meeting and the superintendent's report. Dr. Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. And again, thank you. Congratulations to our retirement. You've made a huge difference and we wish you well. Superintendent's report this evening. I want to emphasize the first piece. It was just a tremendous project that I'm pleased to report on the effort of our middle school staff. Who were recently interviewed by WGAL to feature their SHIELD project. This project was featured as a community champions for WGAL on Tuesday, May 12th. And the project allowed for support of local healthcare facilities during the COVID-19 pandemic through a creation of 300 plus and still going face shields. They were able to add a personalized touch to each shield, including a note from a Dallastown Middle School student. So must go without saying a special thank you to those individual members of the team, including Mr. Gerner, Mrs. Cornish, Mrs. Connolly, Mrs. Coyman, and certainly Mrs. Taroso. And thank you on a job well done, and certainly made us Wildcat proud. Secondly, just to highlight the grab and go, I cannot be more pleased with the effort of Chartwell's for their work and daily grind preparing grab and go lunches for our students. To date, they've served 13,518 meals and counting. And not only have they provided needed nourishment to those in need, but they also solidified relationships with those in our school community. I'm equally excited to share that we will continue the summer lunch program using the same format, and will continue throughout most of our summer months. So again, thank you to Chartwell's. They've been wonderful partners for all their work. As we start to close the beginning of the school year, we're going to be starting May 26th to begin the process ensuring that we meet social distancing guidelines of allowing students to pick up personal belongings as well as return school materials and equipment prior to the official close of the student school year. So I have included the calendar dates in my report. I'd like to thank our students and parents for their flexibility and understanding throughout the process, and my appreciation certainly to building principals and support staff for their coordination and effort. Parents, I encourage you to reach out to your child's school office should you have any questions regarding the schedule and our process of collection and distribution. Probably the highlight this evening, I want to discuss is commencement. And obviously, our school district continues to be extremely proud of our graduating class of 2020. We understand it's a disappointing way to end the school year without being able to celebrate traditional senior year milestones with family, friends, and our school community, but have worked diligently to develop ways to end the senior year and make it memorable and special, especially graduation events. I'm pleased to share with our school community a few key events that will be in place to celebrate the accomplishments of the graduating class of 2020. Senior class officers have worked with local clergy members to plan a virtual baccalaureate ceremony. This ceremony will be pre-recorded and made available online Sunday 31st. We will have the video link, and additional information will be provided as the event approaches. I'm very pleased with our individual senior ceremonies. These will occur the first week of June and allow each senior and their immediate family unit to follow a set course in our stadium. Each participating senior will walk across the field and onto a stage where they will have their name read, receive their diploma cover, pose for a professional photograph, and then receive their actual diploma. These ceremonies for our public will be live streamed for viewers to watch at home. Additionally, linked in my report is a video from Dr. Fletcher, just to provide our school community additional clarity related to these important ceremonies. Another and culmination of event, the pre-recorded commencement video will be made available online on Saturday, June 6th at 6:30 p.m. And finally, if York County has moved to green phase by August 1st, senior and friends and family will be invited to participate in a senior salute event. This event will allow us one more opportunity to celebrate the class of 2020. There will be a large group and individual student recognition, and we'll share more information at a later date. I want to personally thank Dr. Fletcher and his team, senior class advisors, assistant principals, for their countless time and energy placed in preparing these events. Again, I'm very proud of our seniors and wish all members of the class of 2020 our very best. I will provide a brief overview just to finish off the report. Related to enrollment, our current enrollment stands steady at 6,427 students, which if you go to the next slide, it will show that it's up approximately 9 students since October 1, 2019. So throughout the duration of this school year, we've stayed, maintained pretty steady enrollment figures. So Mr. Blevins, I thank you for the opportunity, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. Any questions for Dr. Dahl on his report? Okay, moving on to our consent items. Now I should ask Mr. Fisher, if there's any late breaking additions to the personnel report?
No, they're not.
Okay, good. So I'll entertain a motion for approval of the consent items.
I make a motion to approve the consent items as is.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments from the board? Okay, call the roll,
Mr. Blevins?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I neglected to ask if we could vote on a motion for all of the consent items except for item F and vote on item F separately. So would I be able to make that motion?
We'll have to agree to amend the motion on the table.
Was there a motion already made?
Yes, Mrs. Heaston moved and Mr. Hartman seconded.
My apologies, Mr. Blevins. I tried to unmute and I didn't get to it fast enough.
Or the other option, Mr. Pantani, you could simply sustain from the all votes on the consent item.
I will just abstain. For the sake of time, I will just abstain from the entire consent agenda. Apologies again to the board.
No apology needed. The mute buttons can be temperamental. We have a motion and a second. We've already asked for comments or questions, so call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Abstain.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes, our consent items are approved. And now we move to several action items. The first of one of which is the approval of the targeted school improvement plan. Dr. Heffler.
Good evening. This evening I'm coming to you with the high school's TSI plan. I would like to thank publicly the entire high school team and steering committee who put this together in collaboration with Special Education Department, myself, and Dr. Faree. They worked extensively to put together a plan that's applicable to help our children here at Dallastown High School. So we would ask for your approval this evening for us to put this in the school improvement and comprehensive planning for the state portal.
Thank you, Dr. Heffler. Is there a motion for approval?
I'll make a motion to approve action item 8A.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions for Dr. Heffler or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 8A is approved. And now we move to approval of textbooks. Dr. Heffler.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins and the board. The textbook recommendation before you is the same recommendation that came to Finance Committee and then as an information item last meeting. I would like to recommend the textbooks as listed, and it's in the briefing and all the descriptions. Are there any questions? And then we're asking for a motion for approval for these action items.
Move to approve action item 8C, 8B, the textbook recommendation.
I'll second.
I'm sorry, who seconded?
Mr. Lytle.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions about the textbooks? I will remind the board and the public that we previously discussed those in more detail at a prior board meeting. Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler? Yes. Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Okay, action item 8B is approved. And we'll move on to the parent student handbooks. Dr. Huffler.
Thank you very much. On behalf of the building principals, I'm bringing you four of the student parent student handbooks for the upcoming school year. They reflect the changes as policies are revised, programs are revised, language for educational services are revised, as principals are charged with revising these documents so that they reflect our current practices, protocols, and systems. So I'm asking for approval for the handbooks as presented here this evening. And the language included, you'll see specifically things that have to do with PBIS, Dallastown Cares, and our SWEBS programming for our expectations throughout the school year. I ask that for approval this evening of these handbooks for this next school year, please.
I move to approve action item 8C, the parent-student handbooks.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 8C is approved. And now we move on to the approval of the school physician and dentist for the 2021 school year. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. As previously presented, we are seeking approval to reappoint Dr. Lori Abels as our school physician and Dr. Laurie Isaac Wise as our school dentist. Both of these individuals have served in this role previously, and we'd like to reappoint them again tonight. If any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
I'll entertain a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve action item 8D, the school physician and dentist.
Mr. Lytle, a second.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The action item 8D is approved. And now we'll move to the agreement with STS for our substitute teacher contract. And Mrs. Houston, Mr. Fisher.
Will you take it, Sue?
One quick comment. I just want to thank Mr. Fisher for going back. I know Mr. Pantano had asked about going back to see about getting the different price on that. And I appreciate Mr. Fisher doing that. And we did send that information out to everyone. So I appreciate all the work that you did on this. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mrs. Houston. So as we've previously discussed, our agreement with the Substitute Teaching Service, or STS as we know it, expires on June 30th, 2020. We were able to renegotiate a contract with a 0.5% markup to a rate increase of 32.5%. That rate would be locked in for 3 years. Our old agreement was for 2 years, so I thought that was a fairly lucrative deal. So we've been pleased with the service that STS provides, and we hope to continue utilizing their services. Any questions?
I just want to thank Mr. Fisher as well for his work going back to them. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, can we have a motion to approve?
Move to approve action item 8E. STS agreement.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 8E is approved, and we'll move to the food service pricing for next year. Mr. Hartman and Mr. Warbaugh.
I'll just say this was discussed and was a recommendation of the Finance Committee to approve this tonight, unless Mr. Warbaugh wants to comment about it specifically.
The other thing I'll add is for the people that weren't at Finance Committee last week, it does include a 10 cent increase on lunch and a 5 cent increase on breakfast.
Thank you. I'll make a motion to approve action item 8F, food service meal pricing.
Wingard will second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments about action item 8F? Okay, call the roll. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
I did it again. Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Okay, that action item is approved. Moving on to the debt payment transfer. Mr. Rohrbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Attached is the transfer from the bond fund to the general fund to pay for a debt issue back in 2017, which was planned by the board at that time. So tonight we're seeking approval for this transfer.
I make a motion to approve action item 8G, the debt payment transfer.
I'll second.
Was that Mrs. Houston or Mr. Lytle? I'm sorry.
I'll do it, Mr. Lytle.
Okay, thank you.
We're having issues.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments?
I have a quick question for Mr. Rohrbaugh. This was done prior to my time on the board. This is the second transfer of the two plan, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you for confirming.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The debt payment transfer is approved. Moving on to the annual appointment of our solicitor, Mr. Hartman and Dr. Doff.
Yes, as discussed last week in the finance meeting, it was the recommendation to stick with our solicitor, Fox Rothschild, for another year. Dr. Dahl, do you have anything to add to that?
I would just say that Attorney Sultanic has certainly my full faith and respect and continue to be impressed with his work with here within the district. So I certainly support the notion. We are, and I appreciate, I think Mr. Pantano asked the question, that we currently do not have a three-year RFP process. And I know that is something that we have discussed historically, and I believe it's the original administrative and board's intent. So I will be asking Mr. Bensel with Policy Committee along with Dr. Heffler to take a look at potentially solidifying a more standard procedure. And just so you know, starting November, we'll serve as Attorney Sultanic's third year anniversary representing the district. So the plan will be for this year to try to solidify more of an RFP process for key appointments such as the solicitor and auditor and the like.
I would also encourage the policy committee to take up that as an action item to develop a policy, and the attempt should be made to spread out the RFP so they don't bunch up into a single year. And I applaud the efforts to make that happen.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve action item 8-8, the approval of the transfer.
Wingard will second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 8H is approved. And moving on to the annual appointment of our board treasurer, Mr. Hartman and Dr. Dahl.
Yes, this is for the annual appointment of our treasurer. Again, we look to reappoint Mr. Kurt Warball for July 1st through June 30th of next year. Dr. Dahl, do you have anything to add to that?
I don't believe he has a choice. I support the motion.
Despite his questions with football team picks, I'm going to make a motion to approve action item 8I.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? I'd just like to commend Mr. Rohrball for the fine job he does in the role of treasurer and in the role of business manager. And he's been a great asset to our district, and I applaud his efforts and fully support his reappointment. Any other questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Congratulations, Mr. Rohrball. And moving on to approval of the purchase of host sand storage. Once again, Mr. Hartman and Mr. Rohrball.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Levins. This was discussed at the finance meeting last time. This is a critical piece of infrastructure that we need. The original plan was to do it next year, but we're pulling it forward into this year for various reasons. So it was the recommendation of the finance committee to pull it forward and do it now. Do you have anything to add to that, Mr. Rohrball?
I think you covered it all, Mr. Hartman. Thank you.
With that, I'll make a motion to approve action item 8J, the purchase of the sand storage.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The action item is approved. And now we move to the approval of the secondary campus roof. This has also been discussed at the Buildings and Capital Projects Committee. I would like to thank the administrative team for putting this multi-year proposal together. And this is the first of several years of expenditures relative to replacing the roof on the secondary campus. I also like to thank Mr. Pantano and Mr. Lytle for climbing up on the roof and great personal risk to inspect the proposed repairs to the roof. So Mr. Rohrbaugh, anything to add?
I think the only thing to add is this project is slated to happen potentially at the end of August into September. It does have a date at the deadline of October 15th. So hopefully time frame works out. So.
Okay. Entertain a motion for approval.
I make a motion to approve item 8K.
A second.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Thank you, Josh.
Action item HK has been approved. And thankfully, our last action item of the evening, but not the least, is the approval of middle school paving. And Mr. Hartman and Mr. Rohrbaugh.
Yeah, Mr. Rohrbaugh, you discussed that one. It was discussed last week at the Finance Committee. That's all I had to say about it.
I wasn't sure if there was something else coming or not. This is for paving at the middle school, basically from the buildings and grounds office down towards the tennis court hill area. So we're looking to have this whole area repaved. This has become a sore area over the pavement over the last couple of years. So we look forward to this paving project.
Make a motion to approve action item 8L.
I'll second that.
Have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Blevins, I have just a very brief comment.
Yes, please.
What's up, guys?
There may be those, and I reserve this comment from the roof vote, but they go hand in hand.
You okay?
For me. There may be those looking at these projects and expenditures and wondering about the timing. And having been on the roof and having been around the building, I'm an advocate that we need to keep our buildings in shape. We need to keep our physical plant in shape, and we need to give an appropriate place for our students and our teachers to be educated. And so, these things are very necessary, and the Building and Capital Projects Committee does a fantastic job of vetting these out. So I just wanted to make that comment that these are important and needed, and I support them fully.
Well said. Any other comments? Okay. We have a motion and a second. And we'll call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 8L has been approved. Okay, let's move on to our information items. It's with sadness that we will receive this evening our final report from our student representative, Mr. Rexroth. You have just done a splendid job in your role, and you've been a great asset to the board, and it's our pleasure to hear your final report.
Thank you so much, Mr. Blevins. First of all, there's no activities going on right now at the high school, but I don't want to shirk my duties on my final night. So if anyone has any questions about the student body at this time, I'd be happy to answer them. Seeing none, this is my final meeting as a member of this board, and I'd just like to make a few brief remarks. I have so many people to thank, my family who have supported me in everything I have done, all the teachers, administrators, and staff who have guided me these past 13 years at Dallas Town, my student council advisors, Ms. Boyd and Ms. Hewitt, for all the members of this board, all of whom welcomed me with open arms, especially Ms. Kirby, whose incredibly vital work coordinating and note-taking should not go unnoticed. And of course, I have nothing but gratitude for the student body of Dallas Town, who elected me to this position and who drove me to be the best public servant that I can be. My time on this board has certainly been eventful, from seeing the middle school musical perform to watching the batons of superintendent and assistant superintendent pass to the highly capable Dr. Dahl and Dr. Heffler, to holding meetings over Zoom in the end. However, my time on this board has also been one of great learning. As someone who wishes to pursue a career centered in policy, the opportunity of seeing our school board, the most local and fundamental level of government function, has been an eye-opening experience. It has also been a great honor to witness some of the most hardworking and dedicated elected and civil servants working to make our community better. My hope is that this board will carefully and creatively steer Dallas Town in this trying time by maintaining and expanding, not cutting, programs that continue to make Dallas Town a premier district, by ensuring that every student has access to the tools they need to flourish, and by developing creative, detail-oriented, and student-centered approaches to our district's obstacles. I am leaving this board with nothing but optimism for the future. Although we have been unable to hold an election for my successor, when looking at the prospective candidates, I have nothing but full faith and confidence in their abilities to execute this job with the dedication and tenacity that the students of Dallas Town deserve. I can only hope that I did the same. Thank you.
Very well said. Thank you so much. Any comments from the board?
I need to make a comment if you don't mind.
Please.
I'm absolutely blown away, Dylan, by your poise and the way you're able to articulate the issues. You're well ahead of your age. And I know for sure we'll see you in the future in some role, because I think you're going to make Dallas Town very proud. I think that's about all I can say and keep my family harmony, that I think to the extent I pretty much can say you're probably the best male student representative we've ever had. And again, thank you for your service and taking time for us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'll piggyback on that and just say, Dylan, I think Mr. Rexroth, you've been fantastic. I've even called on you outside of the school board for other advice or guidance or help that I needed in your role. I'm really going to miss your voice and your perspective on the board, and I just wish you the best of luck. Stay in touch with us. Let us know how you're doing.
Thank you so much.
It's congrats.
Been a pleasure working with you.
Dylan, I said it last month, but you're an intelligent, articulate, and well-poised young man, and I know we're going to hear great things from you down the road. So congratulations on a job well done, and best wishes to you as you move on to your
next. Thank you so much.
Dylan, it's amazing how fast a year goes around when the first time you came and sat down when we were all together in a real room. But thank you very much for your passion, your comments, and your spontaneity in the board meetings, quite frankly, when called upon for a question or comment, you spoke right up, and that's what we hope to have in a student representative. So great job, and good luck in the future, and congratulations.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate it.
I just want to express my thanks to Mr. Rexroth. I can just tell you that the next representative will have big shoes to fill. You have been a great asset to us. You have shown such maturity, and the way you represent the student population has been great. So I appreciate everything you've done for us. And I do want to express my congratulations, and I hope you get everything that you're looking for in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. I miss sitting next to you.
Mr. Blevins, if I could also just make a comment, I went up to Dylan. You certainly have added great value and perspective this year, and I'm just in awe, someone your age with clear leadership and able to see the big picture as it relates to public education. It was interesting. This week I had the fortune of following Dylan as we recorded our commencement graduation speeches. I can honestly say after listening to his speech that I much would have preferred to go first, since he clearly rocked his speech and was very eloquent representing the students he was elected to serve. So you have tremendous inherent gifts and talents, and I look forward to following your career pathway. Know you always have a home here, Dylan, at Dallastown. I encourage you to stay in touch and just thank you for your contributions to our school.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dahl.
Any other comment? Virtual round of applause. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to miss you, Dylan. Our loss is George Washington University School of Government's gain, and we wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Okay, let's move on to the summer professional development. Dr. Heffler.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Blevins. I would also like to thank Mr. Rexroth. He's been my elbow partner for the time that we were able to sit near one another. It is truly an honor to have been your neighbor that way. You have a great pathway, and one of the things that truly comes to my mind is other places you'll go. Dr. Seuss said it right, and he said it well, and you have a great pathway for your success. So we look forward to seeing your journey. This I have here before you, the professional development opportunities for Dallas Seminary School District teaching staff and support staff. What I brought here for you this evening is a very abbreviated version of our previous summer of professional development. I'm going to talk a little bit about why that is the case. In this distance environment, our staff has engaged in multiple opportunities for professional development in this distance environment. While we would love to have been in roundtable discussions with one another face-to-face and discussing and debating topics and the journey for distance learning, we've been able to do that quite effectively through our Google Meets and our Hangouts together. One of the things that truly is heartwarming is the community of learners that we have across our professional staff when it comes to supporting our families and our students during this time. So this professional development calendar that you see before you that has the sunshine behind it is our opportunity to shine in a different way. We're going to be paring back this summer because we are going to be distance in that uncertain time. We want to make sure that the opportunities that we provide as we move forward align and are coherent in nature and providing opportunities for both face-to-face, hybrid, and distance, providing voice and choice for our faculty and staff as we move forward. They truly are dedicated, and we are poised with the many opportunities that staff have come forward with creative ideas in order to provide relevant opportunities for our learning for our staff. While this summer you'll see a pared back version of what we are to be facing as we move ahead, we believe that this is the best time to pare it back in order to create alignment and coherence for the future. And we truly have some wonderful opportunities waiting beyond what you see here before you. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to take them, but this is the informational item today, and that'll be shared with our faculty upcoming.
Thank you, Dr. Heffler. Any questions about the summer professional development? Okay, moving on. The formation of the cross-country booster club, Mr. Sortino and Dr. Fletcher.
And Mr. Good evening. Okay, very good.
I'm unmuted.
You're good, Zach.
Okay, and it is bedtime at the Fletcher House, so this could be a little interesting, but I'll keep my comments brief. We do come with an information item, I think an action item next month, seeking ultimately the formation of a cross-country booster club. Cross-country is one of our last sports that does not have a formalized booster club. They've been kind of supported through a high school activity account, and we just want to formalize a booster club to support those student athletes, a very successful program, and we'd love to see them supported as our other athletic teams with a formalized booster club. Any questions?
Zach, will that be both male and female?
Right.
Yes. As one. Thank you.
I have more of a comment than a question, but I think it was what is time anymore? Because I don't remember if it was a couple weeks or a couple months ago, but some time ago, we had the formation of another booster club. And at the time, I recommended that the policy committee take a look at that for the future, and that making sure that they have the proper governance in place for their own internal groups, whether that be PTOs or booster clubs or whatever, just to make sure that things are done properly. And like I say, not a point for discussion tonight. I support this, but just as on the policy committee's to-do list when they meet again. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, let's move on to the update for the 2019-20 budget fund balance designations. Mr. Verbal.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Attaches a copy of the proposed fund balance designations that we'll seek approval at the June board meeting. Again, this is a tentative document, as you will see at the top of it. It does currently have a fund balance surplus for 1920 of $1.5 million. That will obviously get adjusted depending on how the year ends. But as you will see, there is no committed funds at this point. We do have a fund balance in unassigned of 7.59% of our general budget. So again, as those additional funds come in, we will probably put them into a committed fund. As last time in the finance committee, I heard from a number of board members about setting aside additional money for healthcare. So with that, are there any questions from the board?
I think just to reiterate that this is some bureaucratic requirement that requires us to do this in advance of the close of the fiscal year. And obviously, the results of the current fiscal year will change between now and then. And you know, Mr. Verbal has made a good faith effort to estimate the addition to the fund balance. But that said, I would also, when we get to the actual designation of the fund balance, I think we should strongly consider committing some funds to our rapidly rising healthcare cost, and that's going to be a budget burden for us moving forward. So I would just ask the board to start thinking about a significant commitment of whatever fund balance we wind up with in this current year to that end. So
just one thing to clarify for the board and the public, the fact that a large majority of why there is no committed funds this year is the fact that we are using approximately $2.5 or $2.4 million of fund balance to balance the 2021 budget. So I think that's the biggest piece to take away from this. So.
Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Mr. Rohrbaugh, the food service contract, bank depositories.
And attached, Mr. Blevins, is a list of the depositories that we will utilize by the district again in the 2021 school year. This again is the same ones that we've used this past year, so.
Does the board need to take action on this, or is this just a matter of information?
Yeah, the board unfortunately does need to take action on this at the June meeting.
Okay, thank you. Any questions about the depositories? Okay, let's move on to the food service contract. Mr. Rohrbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Attached is the renewal for the food service contract with Chartwell's. This will be our last year under the current guidelines and contract with Chartwell's that we will have to go out for a renewal bid next year. Again, we've been very happy with the service and thrilled with the meals that they provide our students every day. So hopefully get them back in the future. But again, this is just a renewal of the one-year agreement with them. The one piece on this to update the board on, in the past, they've had a $200,000 guarantee back to the district. Unfortunately, with some of the outcomes that have come out with COVID and increased costs, they've backed that down to $180,000. But again, this is still our recommendation to move forward with them for 2021.
Any questions about the proposed contract? Okay. Now we'll go to the next item, which is the Building and Capital Projects Committee and Finance Committee report. And in the interest of time, the minutes from both of those meetings are attached for your review. And certainly if you have any questions about them, you can direct them to Mr. Hartman in the case of the Finance Committee, or myself in the case of the Building and Capital Projects Committee. But I would like to devote all of our time for this agenda item to a discussion of the upcoming action that we have to take in June relative to the budget. And I've asked Mr. Hartman, our board vice president and chair of the finance committee, to lead that discussion. So, Mr. Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. I have a few notes here, and then we'll go around and have a bit of a discussion. But as Mr. Blevins said at the beginning of the meeting tonight, there's no votes being taken tonight. It's just a discussion. The more formal vote will come in June. But you know, if you recall at our last board meeting, we voted to accept the preliminary proposed budget. And then additionally, we had conversation at the Finance Committee recently, and then there's also been conversation among individual board members and various stakeholders in the district. I'd like to note that as chair of the Finance Committee, I appreciate the respectful dialogue between board members, administration, staff, and the public here in Dallastown. And that includes many emails we received this week. Harrisburg and Washington, D.C. could take a lot of lessons from this community in how to conduct business politically. The preliminary budget we passed is non-binding, and it can be changed up until passage of the final budget, which we will vote on June 11th, like I stated. As of today, there have been no changes to the preliminary budget, and I know administration is looking for guidance as to what, if any, changes should be made in the final budget. Also, as a reminder, on June 11th, any board member has the right to propose an amendment to the budget, which will be voted up or down before passage of the final budget. In a moment, I'm going to allow time for board members to, any board members who wishes to speak on the record about your thoughts as the budget is presented. And I'm going to call on you as you appear on my Zoom screen. That seems the most random and fair way to do it. And I know this is a difficult topic, and some people have some things saying it's difficult to express, so if it's okay, I'll go first. So my personal comments are, as a board member and chair of the Finance Committee, I try to think about things in simple terms. School boards are in charge of people, places, and things. And this week that was in my head, and I'm thinking back to the old Schoolhouse Rock song, and I'm probably dating myself by talking about Schoolhouse Rock, but so be it. Those of you listening who don't know what I'm talking about can Google it. And finding the right balance is the trick to all this. For the past many years, the district has placed a premium on the people part of the equation. And I don't see that as a bad thing. I think that is where we should be placing our emphasis. That is where our dollars have the greatest impact on students. The challenge that we have been facing for several years and is now reaching a crisis point is that we have cut into the places and things part of the budget so much so that there's just not much there to cut. For example, as a board, we have discussed that we should have at least $1 million per year in our buildings just to keep our buildings in shape, the heat working, and the roofs from leaking. We are only currently budgeting about half that amount. You can do the math at home, but that equals quite a few staff. We have cut building budgets, things like field trips, color copies, and we'll continue to look for other ways to cut, even small items. Simply put, and regrettably, there's simply not enough money to be found in the places and things categories anymore. Meanwhile, over the past years, we have seen dramatic increases in our special education costs, retirement, and healthcare. Just our increases. So I'm gonna say again, just our increases in those line items will equate to somewhere around 6 to 8 new staff every year. Now I hear some people say in the public, well, you should just raise taxes. And my answer to that is twofold, especially this year. Number one, it's really never a good time to raise taxes. But now when our neighbors and are facing up to 40% plus unemployment because of the virus, I can't in good conscience consider it. And number two, even if we would raise taxes to the maximum allowed by law, this would only barely cover our increased costs for year over year. It's just not sustainable. So the bottom line for me is this. I know the cuts are bad. I know the kids will be impacted, but I'm afraid of where we are now. I know these are positions are needed, but we just can't afford them right now. Additionally, I can't support the additional administration position in this budget. I am open to creative solutions to restore some of these cuts, and I'm certainly going to keep an open mind. I'm looking forward to hearing the comments of my colleagues on the board. So with that, if I'm going across the Zoom, Mr. Pantano, you're up first.
Thank you, Mr. Hartman. Thank you, Mr. Blevins. I do have a few thoughts and a few comments that I'd like to share with those. First, I'd like to say thank you to anyone who's still on the call after these hours who emailed regarding the band position. I, for one, read each and every email, and frankly, I was moved by those. I previously said this, I have several family members enrolled in the district, Loganville, the middle school, and the high school. You know, in my time on the board, it's not been nearly as long as some, but I cannot recall a time when we voted to cut a position or voted to not replace retirees prior to this year. Any cuts are difficult ones. All cuts are difficult ones. Never mind in the face of the uphill struggle that we have ahead of us for next year. I personally do not believe that we have yet seen the full economic impact that this is going to cause to our community for the remainder of this year, for next year, and unfortunately beyond that. As many of you know, I voted no on the preliminary budget, and I have several issues with that budget. Mr. Hartman mentioned healthcare. I wholeheartedly believe that we are well under the necessary amount that should be budgeted for healthcare. I wholeheartedly believe that the decrease in healthcare spending that we see this year is artificial. I believe that those who need healthcare simply can't go to the doctor right now. They simply can't go and have procedures done right now. That doesn't take away the need for them to have them. If you need knee surgery last month, you're gonna need it in September. You just can't get there now. So I think all of that spending is gonna get pushed into next year, compounded with the normal annual increases. If we add deferred expenses and a realistic annual increase, and we factor that in, I think we're woefully underprojected on that line item. There likely should be, in my opinion, $1 to $1.2 million more budgeted into healthcare that's not in the preliminary budget. $1 to $1.2 million. Because of that, I do not believe that the current preliminary budget goes far enough. As it stands, it's sitting at a $2.5 million deficit. If we have another million in healthcare, we're now talking about $3.5 million that we have to cover out of fund balance next year. I get it. The money's going to come out of the fund balance one way or the other. If we leave the budget as is and we go $1 million over in healthcare in March, you'll come to a board meeting and we'll be voting to cover that through the fund balance. Or we can budget for it now and it's still going to come out of fund balance. I just have significant reservations about us voting for a budget that is almost assuredly underprojected, creating any kind of false sense of security with the vast unknowns that we're going to be facing going into next school year. We have no idea what next school year is going to look like. We have no idea what demands and constraints PDE is going to try to push on us as far as the students and the teachers. And as Mr. Blevins says, you know, we just don't know what we don't know yet at this point. As for the current cuts, I think the choice to not replace retirees was the simplest way to go about finding the dollars. And when I say simplest, I don't mean that any of us took it lightly. I don't mean that any of us think that it's the easy way out. I simply mean that it was a way to do it where personnel aren't affected because they were retiring anyway. But what about programs? Are the cuts happening where they need to happen? We have an opportunity, or we had an opportunity, to look at each and every program and to decide how to attack our financial problem rather than basing it on who was retiring this year. And I don't mean this in any kind of derogatory or disparaging way, especially to admin and staff. The challenges that admin and staff have been facing are daunting. And with the limited amount of time and the limited resources and being socially distant, I think they achieved the goal that we set out for them. I'm just not sure that we didn't take it upon ourselves to give them greater direction to dig deeper and really look at it. I believe we should have created a plan. I believe we should have looked at this holistically, and I believe we should have decided where the cuts could happen. And if that meant replacing some retirees, then that's what it would have meant. Let me address band for a second. Music is dear to my heart. I was in band when I was at Dallas Town. It's a growing program. It continues to grow. And my understanding is the growth is growing. And yet we're cutting that for at least the third time in my short tenure. And it's not elimination of positions. It's moving things around. It's the shell game. There's fewer and fewer people. And so we're not replacing a retiree in a growing program rather than analyzing all of the other things. And that cut's going to affect a disproportionate amount of students. Can we put that position back? In my opinion, it depends on whether or not we can find an offsetting cost, because we just don't have the money. Mr. Hartman said it best, and I want to put a finer point on it. Even a full tax increase will not generate enough dollars to cover the growth that we have year over year, aside from all the other things that we need to tackle, including capital. I think that the inability to meet in person and the Zoom format is a major hindrance to true budget discussions and conversations. But somehow we have to fulfill our obligation to fully vet the numbers all the way down to all levels. I'm going to say this as I wrap up here. I desperately, desperately, desperately hope that I am wrong. And I desperately hope that I'm being Chicken Little on this board, and that it is not nearly as bad as I expect it to be with my assumptions. I really hope that. I don't want to be right in this case. I think I am, but I don't want to be. I don't think we've had nearly enough discussion or debate. I don't think we've dug deep enough into the numbers to figure out where we should have these cuts and what should stay and what should go. And as Mr. Hartman also said, there's nothing that has changed from the preliminary vote a month ago to today. And so for all those reasons, unless something would change between now and June 11th, I stand at a no vote on this. And again, I hope I'm wrong. And that's it for me. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Pantano. Going across the screen is Mr. Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Hartman. It's been a tough week. It really has been. As been expressed on numerous occasions from a variety of stakeholders, there's a lot of pain and disappointment associated with the current fiscal situation that our district finds itself in. And as such, we're confronted with, less than ideal options of varying degrees to get us through these dark days. This is not an indictment or a criticism of the administration for all the hard work that has been put into the ideas and the plans that have been shared with the board, but rather it's an observation of the reality or necessity that we have right now in getting a balanced budget with substantial shortfalls due to a variety of reasons. And it makes the choices that we have before us a very arduous task, as all options will have a negative effect on keeping Dallas Town a premier district. And I do believe that. I think that, you know, whatever we decide on, I think we're going to ratchet ourselves downward. And that's not a good thing. We've got to find a way to maintain and to elevate. And prior to COVID-19 crisis, we were faced with a substantial budget shortfall. And this difficult situation, of course, was made more complicated when everything went south in March. So while we're continuing to deal with the unknown, I feel strongly that there are some alternatives as well as other things that perhaps we could do better. And you know, certainly something that's been discussed many times. I completely echo what Mr. Pantano said, and I think many of us have said it before, is we have got to find a better way of creating or following or using an actuary plan as far as healthcare costs and not continually play catch up. I can see if it happened 1 year, but it just seems to be happening year after year, and we have to be more realistic in our approach with that. Enough said. As far as replacing retiring teachers, I wrestle with this, and I think I could support this if we explored other options. And certainly the first thing, it should go hand in hand, especially this year, with a hiring freeze at the administrative level. I think that I don't think I support the additional elementary administrative position. And I think also that enough's been said with that, but I think that perhaps something else that Mrs. Trout mentioned in passing that perhaps is worthy of some exploring, something she said last week in the committee meetings, and that is that is there a need for the replacement of the assistant principal at the middle school this year? And I know that's a radical thought, but if you look at the fact that we have a principal and we have a dean of students, could we not hold off with replacing that position as a stopgap until we get our situation figured out? And I know that right now the hiring process or the interview process has started, but I don't see that as a freight train rolling downhill. I see that more as a train rolling into the station, and we can put that on a side branch while we figure this out, and knowing that we will be hiring a assistant principal at some point in time, but maybe using that void as an opportunity to hang on to other things while we try to figure out other options as we go along. It's something that maybe it bears some consideration. So it just might give us a little bit of wiggle room. Another thought also, I'm concerned about the ramifications that go along with the loss of reading specialists and even the accelerated math program at the intermediate building. We look at math or reading specialists being taken out of their position. I'm very concerned that our most vulnerable students are going to struggle. And I fear a lifelong struggle. If they can't get a handle on how to be better readers at an early age, are we condemning them to a future that is going to make it very difficult for them? And it scares me that there's more that we could do in that regard, and that we're passing on it, or perhaps maybe passing on it. And I'm very concerned with that. And lastly, and I know that everybody has things to say, and I'm sorry for rambling, but also with the music program, I too read each and every one of those letters, and they were all heartfelt letters. And I'm very understanding of the importance of the program. And I would actually, in this one, I think that we could explore some possible options. If we were to, I'm thinking of the dozens of emails that we were sent this week about people supporting the program, and the gentleman at the beginning, Dr. Leitster, his comments about the music program. Is it not possible to fill that void through volunteers? Is it not possible to possibly look at the accomplished high school musicians that we have going through our program and asking them to be sectional leaders at the middle school? Is it possible for us to ask some of these very caring people that have written in to support the music program to donate their time to help share their personal gifts and talents as sectional leaders. And I know that bringing volunteers in to the school, especially in these days, will have its hurdles, but certainly dealing with this budget crisis is a hurdle as well. And maybe it's a good opportunity to look into volunteers so that we can keep the program solid and strong and move forward. I apologize for rambling, but those are my thoughts. Thank you, Mr. Hartman, for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Wingard. Next up, Mrs. Trout.
Thank you, Mr. Hartman. First, I want to thank Dr. Dahl and the leadership team for their creativity and flexibility to come up with the comprehensive personnel plan within the 2020-2021 budget. Obviously, some clever and deep consideration and thought went into the moves and recommendations, and I want to thank you and acknowledge your efforts. I know the cuts are not easy. None of us on the board, Dr. Dahl, Dr. Heffler, nobody wants to cut any programs. Nobody wants to leave any position unfilled. And as a number of people before me have said, unfortunately, it's a necessary evil, and we're required to pass a budget under these difficult circumstances. I don't like cutting the accelerated math teacher at the intermediate school, but I am told that the program will continue. I believe there is the capacity and the ability at the intermediate school for that to occur. I also don't like cutting the reading recovery. It's been shared, however, that the IST function in the elementaries is more robust now than it ever has been. And I'm told that these supports can continue as well, just in a different way. As I stated last month, when we had our preliminary budget vote, I have some significant concerns with other cuts that are in the budget. And honestly, these concerns are greater concerns that I've had over any budget in my 5 years on the board. It's been very difficult. I'm concerned about cutting the gifted position. GIEPs are plans that require goals that are broken down into short-term learning outcomes and supported through specially designed instruction. And AP and honors courses alone don't constitute specially designed instruction. Six grades is a hefty caseload. And I know Mrs. Connolly is a superstar, but undoubtedly this is going to stretch her thin. And after this pandemic and we're back in the schools, those kids are going to need those supports more than ever. I think pretty much everybody by now knows how I feel about the music position cut. I want to thank all of you who reached out to us, and we really do read and consider all of your notes. So even though you might not get a response back from all of us, they are valued and read, and we appreciate everybody reaching out. I think I probably had upwards of 50 people. I heard from former teachers, former students, parents of students, and of course I heard from a good number of current students. In fact, we have some current students at the middle school who wanted to speak at public comment, but we are not in a building where public comment can happen. So they put together a video to as a collective group to have one voice to say how they feel. And I said that I would play their video so that everybody can hear what they have to say. So Mr. Stauffer, now would be the time to play that video.
Over the past 7 years, district-wide, the Dallastown Music Department has lost 30% of its staff. And once again, here we are facing budget cuts, and the music department is on the list.
These cuts will result in a 25% reduction in band lessons at DAIS.
At the middle school level, all performing arts programs will be affected.
Band sectionals will be cut by 66%, orchestra sectionals will be cut by 64%, and chorus sectionals will be cut by 45%.
We are the faces of the program you want to cut. We are not a number.
We are the students who arrive an hour before the start of school for music.
We are the students that end our day with music.
We are the students that perform within our schools and around our community.
Think of where you may have seen us over the years.
Do you attend a sporting event where we perform the national anthem?
Have you seen us at a school concert, musical, or a concert hosted within our community?
We have performed at pep rallies, parades, and adjudication festivals.
The Dallas Town Music Program is shaping our lives.
By continuing to make cuts to our music department, you will cut our dedication, commitment, teamwork, our passion.
You will cut our means of communication.
When words fail, music speaks.
Thank you, Mr. Stauffer. So I want to thank all those middle school students, and we've even had a number of intermediate school students that have reached out to us, and you guys are super brave. Thank you very much for your words. We really appreciate it. Last month, I spent some time specifically explaining why I was going to vote no on the budget. Unfortunately, there was a glitch with the technology, so I'm going to repeat much of what I said, but I would really like it to be in the record. So the reason that I voted no and the reason why I am opposing the music cut is because we talk about our vision and mission in Dallas Town and inspiring and creating pathways for success. Music is a pathway. I think we all understand that Dallas Town has enjoyed a success in music. We've had a good reputation in music. I think we all understand that there's a lot of research out there in the world that music is great for academics. It helps with math. I'm not going to go into all that. I think we all recognize that. Music is a growing program at Dallas Town, and I kind of try to, obviously I have music students, but I try to step out of myself and think, what other growing programs are we cutting so harshly? And I can't really come up with any. This cut will severely limit, and in some cases eliminate, sectionals. It'll make it more like a club. Dr. Leitzel had a very good analogy for the football team and how that could work. The cut also eliminates equity. So only the students that are able to get private lessons will get the effective instruction. Kids that aren't able to have those private lessons are going to be running behind the other ones. One thing that we haven't really even talked about is this year we've asked the middle school schedule to align with the high school schedule. That move alone is going to cut into the program. So even if we don't cut the position, the fact of aligning those two schedules, right now the middle school has six periods a day, they're going to have to go to five like the high school. There are many soft implications. The relationships that students build with teachers, music gives kids places to belong. It's a place where struggling kids find their place and shine. Teachers have reached out and given me examples of kids that they're teaching that have come to them and said, you know, you saved my life, or you helped me get through a really difficult period of time. We know those kinds of things happen. Music is the community's window into our district. People don't come and sit in on a math class or an English class, but we do invite community to come in and see our programs, our musicals, band playing the national anthem at the Hershey at the hockey. What are they called? The Hershey Bears. That's what I'm trying to say. So it's the community's window into our district, and this cut will affect grade levels from fourth grade all the way to 12th. This is not just a middle school thing. It's going to affect the entire program. I realize that positions like these can't be saved without finding the budget funding somewhere. The board as a whole has asked Dr. Dahl to consider not filling the new assistant principal position at the elementary level this year. And I do support that, but I want to be clear to all of you elementary principals, Dr. Anderson, Mr. Bouchelon, Dr. Kessler, and Mr. Patterson, that this is not an easy decision for me. I hear your request for help. I see you struggle to do your jobs. I see you bursting with possibilities and ideas that you're not able to accomplish or put into practice. I see you not having time to do all the great things you want to do in your schools. So I want you to know that to the best of my ability, I will bring you the help you need as soon as I can. But for right now, my priority has to be the students. Dr. Peters, I feel the same way about you. I have great respect and hope for the vision you've brought to the middle school. However, at this time, I'm going to ask administration to consider not filling the assistant principal position that's open at the middle school. I don't disagree that you need them, and I am resolute to give this replacement my top consideration in the future, but for right now, the timing is bad. With the pandemic and the children not in the buildings, I just feel like we need to have more supports for students, and to me, that means having teachers and people that are there directly interacting with the children, with the students. I recognize the difficulty of being down an administrator, especially at the middle level. I remember middle school, it's a tough time. So I put on my thinking cap, what if we relied more on the dean of students? I know you have a dean of students at the middle school. And what if you brought down an assistant from the high school? The high school is at full staff. We talk about bringing the high school and the middle school together. Maybe it would be a benefit. Maybe it would be kind of a good thing to bring an administrator down to work with the middle school to kind of help bridge that gap. I'm not sure. We're all being asked to do a lot more with less. I know I am in my job. I see it. My husband, I talk to my neighbors. They've taken cuts. My brother's taken a, you know, everybody's doing more with less, and I guess that's what I'm asking you to do too. I don't have great answers. I'm trying to be creative. These are unprecedented times. The budget was negatively unbalanced before the pandemic, and now it's even worse. These discussions and decisions are not pleasant. None of us, like I said, none of us want to cut anything. We want to add supports to students. We want to add support to staff and administrators, but unfortunately, this is not the situation we find ourselves in right now. Thank you for your attention and consideration.
Thank you, Mrs. Trout. Moving across, Mrs. Hostler.
Thank you, Mr. Hartman. It's no secret to my fellow board members or to the administration that I have really struggled with the proposed 2021 budget. I completely understand that we need to make serious and painful cuts to have a chance at our budget next year, but I'm concerned that the recommended path will have far greater negative impacts on our students and teachers. In my opinion, all 8 of the retired positions matter. They all served a purpose and filled a void. I said this before, but our math programs and reading programs, music programs are being dismantled by not replacing any of the 8 retirees, but in turn hiring an additional administrator. I know the additional administrator is desperately needed. I'm not doubting that at all. I'm doubting the timing. With the proposed changes, I feel our teachers are being stretched too thin. Our class sizes are already tipping the scale, and we are only going to continue to grow. I'm concerned about our future and long-term goals, and often ask myself if we're digging deep enough. As I listen to all the different perspectives, I keep coming back to our students and the impacts this will have on them. I voted no to the preliminary budget, and without any substantial changes to the proposed budget, it will be challenging for me to accept the budget as is come June. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hostler. Mrs. Hestand.
Thank you, Mr. Hartman. Hopefully at this late hour, I can read my chicken scratch that I wrote down. First of all, I know we've all received the numerous emails regarding the music position that was recommended not to replace in the proposed budget. I truly appreciate the passion each and every email expressed for Dallastown's music program. Many of the people who reached out to us may not understand we are making very difficult decisions in regards to the budget. Right now, the proposed budget has 8 positions that are being filled internally. We are not replacing 8 teaching positions that will be vacant at the end of the school year. This will result in eliminating a reading specialist from Oro Valley and Logan Springfield. The middle school gifted teacher will be doing both middle school and high school gifted. The intermediate school accelerated math program will now be taught by the gifted teacher. And that's just to name a few of the changes that are being asked by the administration. If the proposed budget passes as is, we will be asking more from our staff to help our students because of the movement of staff to fill the vacancies. But I know our staff will do what is necessary for our students. One example in this during this whole pandemic is what the high school staff did for our seniors in developing the graduation. And that was, I know, extremely time consuming, and it's going to be time consuming for them to do that four nights for, so each student has their special time. So I know that they will all step up and do what's right. This is not an easy decision for me, but we are facing so many unknowns for the upcoming year. We can only guess what the impact will be on revenue, and we do not know what the impact on expenses to open school in the fall will be. Even though the decisions on staffing is difficult, we also have to be thankful we are in a better position than some other districts. And these are just a few examples. York City may have to eliminate up to 44 positions. Northern York is eliminating 27 full-time aides. Southern York may have to delay construction projects, and they have a hiring freeze also. Greencastle is eliminating and furloughing 12 positions and will eliminate many extracurricular programs. I would rather start the budget year lean, see what the fall looks like. And if we need to revisit the positions or any other positions, we do it then, rather than fill these vacancies externally and then have to furlough teachers because of unexpected drop in revenues and or increase in expenses. I also struggled with the administration position. At first, I wanted to say that we, you know, to go ahead with having that extra administration that's been asked for years. But again, as the other board members have said, this is difficult. I know they need, it's needed, but also those other eight positions that we aren't filling are also needed. So I also can't support adding the additional administrator that has been asked for. And I do want to say thank you to all the board members for everything that you guys have been sharing, the respect that we have for each other. I know this has been difficult for all of us, but I do appreciate that we can all talk about how we feel, truly feel, and feel that we're being heard. And thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Eastand. Mr. Bensel.
Like everybody said, this is no position any of us thought we would be in or want to be in. I know all the letters that came in, like most of us, we read all of them. It's hard to believe how articulate, professional, well thought out, and the amazing part is, they're just, call them kids, but they're young adults. The part I'm struggling with is, we're picking and choosing position cuts that are more important than another one. We've had tons of letters about the band. I find it, I won't say disturbing, but upsetting that when we replace or not replacing the reading specialist, nobody advocated for those kids or wrote a letter in. That's disturbing to me. And say we don't hire another administrator, how are we going to pick what we spend that money on? Will that pay for one and a half positions? Then we're back in the same boat. So we're trying to save money to save a position. Well, then we have to vote on what positions that's going to be. We all started out that it was, the pain was going to be even and felt across the board. But boy, I don't want to be in the position of picking and choosing, because I have my favorites or ones that I know. Now, a lot of it's anecdotal. I've heard a lot of these kids read at the middle school level, and I've talked to different people that are there every day, and they could tell a difference. Like I said, that's anecdotal. That's not a scientific study. But every position that we're eliminating or not replacing, they're all important. How we're going to pick and choose, you know, like I said, the kids that need it the most in the reading, I know all these positions we can handle. The teachers are going to do the best they can do. But some of these positions, the kids that need it the most, you know, nobody's advocating for them or think it's an important job that they need help with. Like I said, this is a no-win situation, but I think we're going down a rabbit hole here. And no disrespect to anybody, we start picking and choosing, I think it's going to get out of control. Everybody has their strong opinions on what's important, what's not. I mean, that's human nature. I'm just a little disappointed to see that, you know, either the parents aren't advocates for their kids that need help. It's a no-win situation, and it's just going to get, I think we're going to get into a back and forth that we don't want to do. And I was really interested, I would really be interested in Mr. Letzel's, what their solution was at his school. I think somebody should talk to him, and it'd be really interesting to hear what he had to say. And then the other thing is, I know we're stretched thin. There got to be some way we can go after grants harder than we do. But like I said, it's we're all in a bad way and a situation we never wanted to be in. And then with the schools closing, that's a whole nother topic. I won't even get started, but that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Bensel. Mr. Lytle, please.
Thanks. The last couple months and activities and then the barrage of the mail that we got, this has been difficult, to say the least. I've seen cuts before. It seems to be a way. We've had third grade strings taken away, brought back, taken away. We had the swimming program taken away. So cuts don't surprise me. We've had some prepared speeches and talks, but a lot of them got said by other people, and that kind of only highlights why we do this. I got a lot of respect for the peers around my Zoom and for what they have to say. A lot of you had said a lot of the thoughts that I hadn't prepared, and I really appreciate that we're doing this in an open dialogue. So thank you for all your thoughts. I think we need to remember back to last year when we were sitting in this chair and we were contemplating this current year's budget. We were looking pretty good. We did our normal summer list of spending. We got pretty aggressive at bringing some expenses forward. And then if you remember what looked like a good year, we ended up having some healthcare issues over the summer and premiums that got in before the end of the year. Last year didn't look so good. Well, we thought the year was going to, that we were setting up was going to be okay. It wasn't. This year, we thought we were going to break even. We all saw the news, what happened from February to March. Then the virus hits us, and that's the only godsend was we actually are going to be in a better position than where we were positioning ourselves at $1.8 million. That I know the cuts are painful, and I'm going to, what I keep coming back to is trust. And we have to have trust in Josh and his first year. He's been on the job 5 months. Now, it seems hard to believe because he's been ever present and he's grown through our organization. But if he is acutely aware of all of the demands that we needed, and he's been lobbying early, if you remember when, as Dr. Dyer was leaving, the couple different cap, he teed it up for the devastation that was ahead of us. And we held the line on no taxes. And in hindsight, that was the right call for where our neighbors are right now. And I'm firm on that. But for where our history has been over the last 18 months and where our next 18 months are going, it's going to get ugly. And I think it's painful, but that's where I'm trying to hold true to my macro view. I am a school board director. I am not a manager. I can look at information and I can help guide, but I cannot pick winners and losers. We gave Josh the task of trying to deliver his budget without a tax increase. He is aware of all of our different factions. And, you know, again, I said it last week in the meeting, replacing retirees only assumes that the incoming headcount was correct. And we asked Josh to look at all of that, and he's made his choices. And so that's all been said. I think the only different opinion that we haven't talked about is I'm differing on adding administration, because again, it comes back to trust that we're burning our staff out. I said it in finance. I think we've tried outside people bringing in. We've done our recent succession plan with how Josh moved, and then we backfilled, and then we backfilled, and we. The talent pool isn't out there, and the ones that are out there don't know the Dallas Town culture. And we need to do something, one, from a manpower standpoint, to develop our talent and to develop them in our culture. And I'm really aware, if you're not aware of the burnout that is going on right now with staff, I'm married to a teacher, and trying to teach in these difficult situations, I don't think we value management the way we need to. And I'm afraid we're getting too caught up in line items, and we don't realize how one line item might, it may be expense somewhere, but it may solve a expense somewhere else. Mr. Blevins alluded to that last week in finance, that maybe if we had more administrators, we might save some money on legal fees. I don't think we appreciate, yes, we might be losing a teacher, but how many kids does one teacher impact? An effective administrator can help make each teacher better. And I think we have to find that sweet spot on our staff to make sure that we are getting the benefit out of extra administrators as opposed to diminishing returns. And again, I just keep coming back to, we hired an internal candidate who knew our culture, who was going to hit the ground running. I don't want to, 5 months into the job, I don't want to tie Dr. Dahl's hands and his team's hand when they grew up knowing our situation. And among all else, he's making the tough decision day one to cut teachers and to add administrative staff. My wife, when we started dating, said, "You have my trust until you lose it." And that's the way I raise my kids. And that's the way I'm going to rear and try to guide the superintendent. We're in unprecedented times. We all have our job to do, and I'm going to follow his recommendation. If we can find some money for music, that would be great, because they've been hit hard. But if he looks me in the eye and says, each program has been weighted evenly and our delivery system is good, I'm not an educator. I have to trust him. And at this point, we all got to buckle up, and we got to each do our role and work together and get this thing solved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lytle, and certainly not least, but finally, Mr. Blevins.
Thank you, Mr. Hartman. I'll be brief because, you all have done just an excellent job of summing up the very difficult situation that we're in. It's not just Dallas Town that's in this predicament. It's unprecedented times for all public school systems in the state of Pennsylvania and beyond. I think that it's very likely for many districts who are not in the same financial condition as Dallas Town is in, that they could very well, given the unprecedented and unpredictable nature of what lies forward in the coming year or two or three, that many school districts in Pennsylvania are going to be filing for a receivership. that's a distinct possibility. So the severity of the situation cannot be overstated. It is and I've been on the school board longer than any of you, and you know I've never experienced anything that comes close to rivaling the financial difficulties that the district is in. I would like to thank the administration, and I echo Mr. Lytle's comments. I would like to thank them for taking a very difficult situation and coming up with a solution that impacts the fewest people, as far as nobody under their plan is losing their job. And today, more than ever, that's critical. So I would like to commend the administration and Dr. Dow for the creativity that they put into to balancing the budget without regard to the impact of the pandemic. And I would also point out that the unexpected cost savings and things like healthcare, et cetera, that are going to lead to an unexpected positive result for the current year cannot be separated from next year. They're joined at the hips. The temporary gain that we have for this year is going to be more than absorbed by the demands of next year. All of that said, I would encourage the administration to try to be a little bit more creative in a specific area. I happen to believe that the music program, and by the way, I would like to also add my thanks to all the students and others in the community, parents and interested parties that sent the emails to the board, and thank you for doing that, and for the video. That was very, very good. But I do believe that the music program at Dallastown is one of the important things that brands Dallastown. We are known for our excellent music programs. So if there it would be a way to restore that position, because I think we have, through attrition, made some cuts into that program, this one is yet another cut to the program. I would encourage you, if there's a way to come up with a compensating, and a couple of them have been put on the table this evening as possibilities, but if there is a way to restore that position, with finding some compensating savings elsewhere, I would support that. I agree with Mr. Lytle that the additional elementary assistant superintendent is absolutely needed. I'm questioning whether or not this is the correct time for that. And I believe that perhaps it is not. But with all that said, I look forward to hearing what Dr. Dahl's impressions of our discussion tonight are, and look forward to seeing what is presented in the form of a final budget. But I am very appreciative of all of the excellent comments that the board has made tonight, and equally appreciative of the efforts of the administration. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. I think that's a pretty good lead into Dr. Dahl. If you have any thoughts or comments or questions.
Sure, would you like me to summarize all 9 board members' comments or my own? lot that was said.
I sure didn't want to do it.
Now, I will say this has been, and clearly, it's been a very painful process. And obviously the main source of our budgetary cuts have come through internally, not filling certain positions through retirements and resignations. Our goal all along, and I speak on behalf of the administrative leadership team, we're trying to take care of people. And I do appreciate Mr. Blevin's comment specific to trying to take care of them during this time. I'm a member of the Dallastown family. I take pride in being a member of that Dallastown family. And we have worked wholeheartedly during this hard, hard event to try to keep people whole. So I am proud that this budget does not propose any furlough cuts or cuts to staff that way, and no one is losing their jobs. As superintendent of schools, it's my strong belief, and please hear me, and I hope the public hears me, all of these positions, non-filled positions, are needed. If you recall, just for those in the audience, early on in the process, I was recommending the addition of several staff members. We have a tremendous growth that is taking place over the next 4 years in our district. In the last 10 years, our district has grown 500 students. So I understand individual growth in certain areas, but I will say it is starting to hit. And as Dr. Dyer said before his parting words, we are not meeting the needs of our district. I can assure you this budget is not meeting the needs of our district, but it's simply a reaction to what we need to do as a result of the time period that we're in. So it is really a toss up between the financial philosophy and educational plan. And it's been difficult to navigate. And during a time when financial pressure is increasingly placed on our district, we are simply trying to strive to find a balance. I stand by my recommendation. You hired me as your superintendent to make a recommendation. I stand by that recommendation. Do I wish that I was recommending something else? You bet. I wish I was adding positions, because that's truly is what is needed. I want to give full credit to our leadership team. This is not a Josh Dahl decision. This is a decision that we worked together. We spent countless hours. We had to unfortunately do it virtually and really looking at ideas. This has been vetted. My original recommendations were vetted by the team and transformed, and we've given it a lot of thought. Do we have all the answers to these problems? No. It is going to be taking a lot of creativity to try to make this occur. So with that said, I do appreciate your discussion and you're allowing me to kind of look in from your lens on what you value as a board. And that is critical. And at the end of the day, I'm here to make a recommendation related to the budget. It is now the board's decision to really provide direction on what they agree with and what they don't agree with. What is clear through the discussion is that we don't have agreement. Everyone, Mr. Ladle's lens, everyone has different priority. No one at this point in time has asked me if we brought a position back, what would I bring back? I think that's an important question that we should unpack at some point. And I'll tell you, I'd love to bring it all back, but I would echo what Mr. Bensel said earlier. I was very similarly alarmed that we do not have the population that most needs our support. And when we return to school, there are certain students that are going to have tremendous gaps. We talk about summer retention rate, of how much information students lose over the course of the summer. You're talking as students are, you're expanding that by 2 summers, 6 months. And our reading specialist, and particularly our math intervention, for me, is crippling. And I've lost some sleep over those specific positions because those are the students that are most in need. I'm looking at what will have the biggest impact. As in regard to music, I'm a product of music. I value music, and I do, and I would love to maintain that. But I'm also looking at where are we getting the most support for our students? And I think, as we have to whittle this budget down over the course of several years, we have to define what is our core philosophy or what's our main priority within education. For me, for years, I've said whole child education. That includes everything. I'm being forced philosophically as an educator to take a different look at that piece because I'm recognizing we cannot do it all. And so I appreciate your opinion. I appreciate obviously giving me a lens. I think what's clear to me from this evening's discussion is that the addition, particularly of the K-3 assistant principal, is not in the cards. That's almost a unanimous viewpoint at this point in time. I think we have some split votes in regard to those other pieces. I'll certainly reflect and talk to members of our leadership team and senior staff to have some additional conversation. Pulling an assistant principal from a middle school, I strongly oppose that move. Can it be done? Yes, anything can be done. But I was principal in this district for 6 years. That will be a tough pill, regardless if we have a dean of students. So I will have some further discussion and dialogue with our team. I still do, at the end of the day, stand by the recommendation. And I think at this point, what is clear to me is the K-3 position. We will have to take another consideration as it relates to the budget. With that said, not to add any additional negative lens to the budget, we did just want to provide the board an update. And this is news that came in today. We learned the homestead, if you recall, the homestead farmstead property tax reduction allocation. It's basically the way that the government, the PA state, collects money, and it's their way several years ago that they allow us to reduce property tax by giving us a certain allocation each year. Currently in our budget, we're at about a $1,386,000, $1.4 million, leaning more towards 1.4 we received for this distribution. We received notification today that there is a good chance that they're going to be reducing that amount. If you recall, most of those dollars come from gambling funds. And I think in light of the COVID-19 shutdown, those funds are not coming in like they had anticipated. So I will say that that is something that we'll have to take a look at and work with Kurt. That could have an impact. I'm not sure what that overall dollar figure will be, but it is something that we'll consider. We'll hopefully have some additional insight with the budget related to the CARES, the funding, ultimate funding for the June budget. As was mentioned by Mr. Lito, I've been on the job 5 months. This obviously is my first budget. I'm glad to hear this isn't the norm of the budget, and we're working through it. We're working through it together. I do also echo, and I'll go back to Mr. Pantano's comments, I think there is some additional challenge that will come in the upcoming years. So I do think we need to be smart about what we bring back. I've taken pride over the last 8 years as assistant superintendent not having to furlough. I'm not looking to add that to my list. And I want to make sure we're smart when we're bringing individuals in, that we're bringing people in for the long run as part of our Dallastown family. So we will have some discussion with our administrative team, make some additional moves based on the feedback we received. And I do, just like Mr. Hartman and Mr. Blevins said, I appreciate your candor. I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your feedback. But I will say at the same time, we're gonna have to pull this together within the next month and try to gain some semblance of consensus, because June is the date. The end of June is the date to pass the budget. So I thank you, though, for allowing me to speak, Mr. Hartman.
Absolutely. And I think the way forward, the hour's late, and there's a lot here to unpack, and there's a lot here for administration to consider. My suggestion is, how about this, everybody, reflect on this, and if I don't know if we, I know some suggested maybe we have another visit. We probably could certainly do that if we think we are going to get anywhere, or perhaps everybody's stayed at their position, and without a change in their direction, they're not going to change anyway. So I'd suggest let's think about this for the next 24 hours or so, or maybe until Monday, and let administration think on as well. If we need to try to get another meeting in before we vote, we can, I suppose, or even the night of the vote early to have some more discussion if needed. But like I say, I think we've had probably a fair amount of discussion tonight and probably need some reflection time now. So that's all I had. Mr. Blevins, if you want to add anything.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hartman, and nice job of leading the discussion. In the interest of time, I think we'll move on. Hopefully with topics that don't consume nearly as much time, Mr. Bensel, the PSBA liaison report.
Been taken. Everybody should have got the 2020 State of Education from the PSBA. It's interesting to look at. I'm not sure how relevant it is anymore after the coronavirus. And then this is the same time every year that we, if we have anything that we want to bring up to be on the legislative platform, I'll come up with some ideas and email everybody. But the main thing that's on my mind is if they ever do something like this again, they better make sure they reimburse for the cost that it's creating to the districts. Just to close schools, town, they don't have to, schools closed, there's no attendance and no real grades. I mean, that handcuffs us. So, I mean, I know I said that last week, but that'd be probably a good start for the legislative platform. That's all I have.
Any questions for Mr. Bensel? Okay, let's move on to the LIU board report. Mrs. Houston.
Thank you, Mr. Bubbins. This will be quick. First of all, I just wanted to let you know, Dr. West, who is our executive director, did say he would take a wage freeze. So that was nice to hear. He also started a reopening planning meetings with 13 superintendents who volunteered for that committee. They had their first meeting yesterday. I think they're having another meeting tomorrow. So they're working on a framework of how to reopen. And as we know, there has really been no guidance from PDE. So it's a daunting task, but they are working at it. And I appreciate that the LIU is spearheading that. That's it.
Yeah, Mr. Houston, I just want to also, and I do this every month lately, which is a good thing. Dr. West has done a great job. We've been spending a lot of time with Tri-County superintendents, taking a look at multiple options for what that means for next year. I will say we have a meeting coming up with the Secretary of Education to express some of, for him to enlighten us on some of the issues that we're facing, but also for us to express some, I guess, caution and what we need for the start of the school year and to address some specific questions. But the IU has been tremendous in rallying all three counties together as superintendents and districts. So thank you for good choice.
Okay. Any questions about the LIU board report? And the last information item of the evening is the LIU Joint Authority Report. Mrs. Houston.
Yeah, real quick. One, I forgot to mention on the LIU report, if you guys, there's a, whenever you get a chance, there's a one slide to show what the LIU does. So for the new board members, it kind of is a good thing to see what service, what, how big the LIU is and how many students we teach. So on to the Joint Authority. Real quick, we passed a budget and there's no increase to the member districts for the Joint Authority. That's it.
Very good. Thank you so much. Any questions for Mrs. Houston? The calendar of board events is attached for your review. You will notice that is the custom over the summertime. There are no committee meetings scheduled, but you can pretty much count on the fact that there will be some. And as the need for those arise, whether it be from a capital a perspective or a HR perspective or finance committee, as the need arises, we will certainly in all likelihood, we will have to schedule some committee meetings over the summer. The conference, there are no conference requests, and now is the time, as if we haven't already had a lot of them, for board comments and correspondence. Seeing none, we'll move on to our second and final opportunity for public comment. Again, if you wish to speak, please select the raise your hand option and you'll be recognized by our webinar host, and you can make your brief comment.
Mr. Blevins, we do have a couple hands raised. The first is Jillian Mastromadio. Jillian, I have allowed you to talk. You can unmute your mic and speak.
Hi, all. So I would like to read my letter. Actually, I'm totally kidding. You guys all got my letter. I'm not going to spend your time. I thought we could use a good laugh. I wanted just to share, I wanted to say thank you, honestly, for all of the work that you all do behind the scenes. I am very passionate about the music program because I have kids going through that. And so that is heavy on my heart right now. And I very much appreciate that you all have taken the time to read the letters and listen and consider the things that are, I feel, community outreach to our school. And that's it. I really just wanted to say thank you. And I really sincerely appreciate the fact that you are open to reviewing information and rethinking creative ways that we might be able to solve a whole bunch of different issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your comment.
Mr. Blevins, Mr. Patterson would like to speak. Mr. Patterson, you can go ahead and unmute your microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. I'd be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to kind of be the voice for those children that are in the elementary schools that struggle with reading. This topic is something that's very close to me, and I know Sarah mentioned it and a few other board members mentioned it. I think we really were struggling with this whole budget process. We think the process that Dr. Dahl and the central office staff have put in place with the support of Act 93 has been the least painful. But as we get closer to getting to the final budget, it's causing more and more pain for a lot of the stakeholders. You guys, of course, the Act 93 group, teachers, but that group of students really doesn't have a voice. A lot of their parents are disengaged. They don't get involved in the things that the parents that might in a music program. So I apologize for being emotional about it, but they don't have people speaking for them like the people from the music program. And I'm a huge supporter of our music program and what it does for our kids. Hillary knows that over the years. And I just think that, you know, we're trying to minimize the pain and we understand that it's a challenging times. But some of these things were going to happen without COVID. Some of these decisions needed to be made no matter what. And the scenario that we're running into is, and I've said this statement a couple of times, you can't get blood from a stone. And if we don't have the money to replace the positions, we don't have the money to replace the positions. And I'm hearing people say we need to cut more here, cut more there. And I'm personally struggling with it because I've been here 31 years. And I started with a building budget at my building at Leaders Heights when I started as a principal of over $110,000. And my current budget for both buildings is $90,000. So I'm doing for two buildings what I used to be able to do with one. The Act 93 group has done their part. And I understand the challenge of wanting that K-3 elementary principal in this round. I get it. But we've been asking for that for years. And the timing is terrible. And we understand if it can't happen. But you have to understand that there's also ramifications of that not happening for the social and emotional health of the administrators. And I'm here the longest. I've been in this system the longest. And I've seen the toll that this job has taken on me personally over the years and how it's changed in the last 10 years. And I feel I have to be their voice in some aspect because it's important to understand that they're exhausted and they're worn out. That doesn't make the decision to add or not add the assistant principal position an easy one. But it's important to understand all of these decisions that you guys make in the next month have ramifications. Adding music back, but not adding reading back. What's that mean? Well, there's a ramification for all of it. So I know it's late, but I wanted to speak for those two groups because I think at times we want to do the right thing and we don't want to get involved in some of this stuff unless you come to us. But that those two groups don't necessarily have a voice at times. And I appreciate the comments that you guys made tonight, and they're heartfelt, and I understand where you're coming from, and it's good for us to have a lens. I also want to give Josh credit in all the budget years. This has probably been the strangest and the craziest one, but he's engaged us in the process from the get-go, and he wants input, and he took feedback, and we made adjustments based on his recommendations. So there's a lot of things going on that are very good things, as Bill mentioned earlier. So we need to keep that momentum going, and we need to be careful that decisions we make don't negatively impact the overall growth of the district. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Mr. Blevins, we do have another hand up, Jamie Carraza. Jamie, you're able to unmute your microphone and speak.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, it said I had a problem. I will be brief. It's been a long 3 hours. And quite honestly, this is my first board meeting that I have attended, and I'm very gracious to all of you for your time and your hard work that you put into our district. One comment that really bothered me, and I'm sorry to point names, Bensel, but when you commented about no one, you know, writing in about the reading specialist, but wrote in for the band, it did affect my heart. Because I have 4 children in the district and I sit on 2 PTO boards. And the only reason I knew about the budget cuts were because I was a part of the COP2 meeting not that long ago. And unfortunately, there's so much pressure on parents these days, especially during the COVID-19, that those parents have even more pressure on them because they are now homeschooling those children. So perhaps if they knew this was going on, they would be able to reach out and to have a voice for those kids. And like Mr. Patterson had said, somebody knew about this that had a child in the music program, and that's how it spread. And if you watch that video of those children, the weight of how I feel about the music program came from those kids. And it's because that is what is so important to them. We as parents know the reading specialist program and the math program, those are what our kids really need. But what these children miss are what are their favorites. I have 2 kids in the band and they miss those band practices. But alongside that, I've been in the district since kindergarten. I remember when my parents paid for field trips. That could be an option. Parents are willing to pay $10, $12, $15 for a dance lesson or a singing lesson. Is there any way that we could monetarily support the band program in order to be able to keep something like that going so that our kids can have a private band lesson or something like that during the school? So I listened to everyone and I took all of those into consideration, but I did feel bad for those kids that are in the reading program. And it's not that their parents don't care. They're just unaware. They don't know this is going on, or they would be a voice, you know, for them. So I hope that you all can talk. And I know that you have the best interests of the kids, you know, at hand. and make a decision that is in the best interest of those kids moving forward, because they need school and they need all of these programs more than ever with what they're enduring right now. And I'm a witness to that as I'm home 24 hours a day with my kids for the first time ever. And I see that what they get within your walls of each of those buildings, no matter how old they are, is really what's important to them. And that's something that even as their mom, I'm not able to give them at home. So thank you very much. And I hope you all have a great evening. And I know you have difficult decisions, but I know you'll make the best ones.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Mr. Blevins, Ellen Connolly wishes to speak. Ellen, you can go ahead and unmute your microphone.
Thanks, Tom. It's been a long meeting. I'm talking off the cuff. Obviously, I was prepared when I made my comment in the beginning. I just want to reiterate that we, DAEA, we do, as I said in the beginning, we support what you need to do. We support our superintendent. This isn't going to be easy, and it's not going to be over quickly. The budget's going to have to pass. We all know that. There are going to be parties that are going to struggle with the decisions that all of you had to vote on. Dr. Dahl has struggled with this, I know personally, months ago. Because when he entered this, he was very transparent and he remained transparent. Some of the things that I needed to address in the beginning of the meeting has nothing to do with the decisions that you have to make and the cuts that you have to make and the reductions of programs. It has to do with, we are walking a fine line of whether we are going to rise above this and continue to work together as a board, as an Act 93, as a support staff, and all of the educators that are involved. And that's our choice. That's not dictated by money. And it's not dictated by PDE or the governor. It's dictated by us. So moving forward, we are going to be stressed, we're going to be tired. I'm hearing comments that we are already tired. Chip's comments were very inspiring because all of our administrators will speak for every population of students that come through our buildings. I think my point to end the meeting is, what are we going to do after the vote? And as a DAEA president, we commit to sitting at the same table, because we can go 8 positions short. The reality is, and the testimony to our character is, what are we going to do together about that? What are we going to do if our K-3 principals don't get an additional position? Let's find creative ways to reduce the stress, reduce the trauma that we experience when our students come through and they share the tragedy in their lives. We carry that with them, with us, as they carry it with them back home and back into our buildings. We can never remove ourselves from the pressures and the trauma that is experienced in education, and we can't lose sight of all the positives and the joy that comes with our education. We have to stay balanced, we have to deal with the vote, and then we have to figure out, how are we all going to survive the immediate year coming and the 2 years after? And I feel as though I can speak to this because I do my homework. I sat in PSEA webinars this week. I listened to people across the state talking about how we need to work together with superintendents and associations and school boards, because furloughs are a reality already, and we don't want people losing jobs. Program cuts are a reality. We have to just seek ways to reduce as few as possible. Vote's going to happen come July 1. We have to figure out how we're going to handle it. And we need to be at the same table, and we need to figure out how we're going to survive it. We still need to maintain our effectiveness, and we can do it. And I'm saying that because I'm listening to 3 hours of heartfelt people ready to be all in. I would not want to be in any of your positions. I appreciate everything you're doing. I'm grateful that I could share some of my disgruntlement of the communication that has taken place, but that happens in stressful situations. So again, I thank you for your time. And let's just stay a team.
Thank you. Any other comments, Mr. Stauffer?
Mr. Blevins, there are no additional hands raised.
Okay. Well, thank you all for your huge commitment of time this evening. And I will hope that you all find time to get some rest over the weekend. And the meeting is adjourned.